Thanks, Bree. Just a few things before I start with my preach. I just want to say something. It's incredibly important that we as a congregation remember that a Sunday is for all of us, right? It's not just for those few who come, who's going to preach, or the worship team that's prepped in the week for a Sunday. A Sunday is for every single one of us. Every single one is here to contribute and to partake of what God wants to do. And the moment we, like this morning in worship, the moment all of us fix our eyes on Jesus and all of us started to pray and look at Him, God came. So, really want to encourage us. Like, let's be people who in the week, we find Jesus and we look for Jesus and we dig a well so that when we come together on a Wednesday or a Sunday, that we overflow together. Because as all of us overflow, it's just beautiful what God wants to do, right? Sundays are celebrations, actually, of what God did during the week. So I want to encourage us. I know life is busy. And I know technically I'm the only one that's supposed to be here. So I am grateful for everyone that's here. But let's be people who come to church on a Sunday. I want to encourage you. We pray at 8:30 every single Sunday, asking, Lord, what do you want to do this morning? Join that. Let's be people who come on a Sunday just ready to experience God together. We're not professionals by any measure. We have a spine of what you want to do on a Sunday, but we follow the Spirit. But it's important that each of us realize that we do it together. It's not a show. It's not a production or performance. We don't have to hall for that. And even if, that's a bad joke, but even if we did, it's not about that. It's about each person coming here to contribute and to be part of what God wants to do. So if you're a visitor this morning for the first time, thank you for being with us. This was beautiful. I'm not going to apologize for it, but it wasn't planned. And it's just beautiful how we follow the Spirit. So well done for sticking it through and for not running away. It's beautiful. It's beautiful when we find God. And then the other thing that I want to say, Charlie had a word about how the Father calls every single one of us to sit at the table and not be underneath the table or hiding away. But God calls every single person to sit at His table. And this was a moment, and it was a beautiful moment, but it doesn't stop here. We have to be people that's continually filled with the Spirit, continually walking with Him every single day, and not just wait for a Sunday. Okay, that right. Cool. So, the title of my message this morning, 25 past, okay, is Run with Endurance. Run with Endurance. And in order to see God fulfill the things He wants to do in us, and what He wants to do through us, in order to see the inheritance God has for us in the Sound Suburbs, I'm going to keep on reminding us of that. God is calling us to be the light in the Sound Suburbs. He has inheritance for us. He has plans and purposes for every single one of us as a congregation to see the Sound Suburbs for Jesus. Every single person. And we need to own that and have faith for that and not forget about that. In order to be on a mission in God's army, like Dimitri preached last week, it's super important that we run with endurance. Because we live in a world where everything is at our fingertips, right? You can instantly get anything you want, get answers to any questions you have. I mean, we have AI, we have YouTube. It's so easy just to not having to wait for something or endure or persevere for something. Like if you don't want to go to the shops, you can do an online order. I'm not bashing that. We online order all the time. But my point is, we don't have to endure anymore. And we don't have to persevere anymore. And we don't have to keep on running the race in order to win. And the Bible actually paints quite a different picture for us in our walk with God. You know, earlier in the year, I don't know if you guys can remember, we did like a few weeks on healthy church. What does healthy church look like? And we looked at the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Do you guys remember that? Hopefully some of you remember that. Okay. And almost to all of those seven churches, if you want to go have a look, Jesus told almost all of those seven churches to endure, to keep on enduring, keep on running the race, keep on persevering. And that is super important. Like, we are called to run a race of endurance. We are called to trust and have faith in God that He wants to use us, that He wants to work in us, that He wants to work through us, that He wants to see His kingdom come in us and through us. And part of running with endurance, like, where's Richard? He did, like, how many K's did you run yesterday, Richard? Let's just put you on the spot quickly. 25 K's. He ran 25 K's yesterday. Let's just give him a round of applause. That's amazing. Oh, did he? I don't think I've ever ran 25 K's in my life. But somewhere, it probably goes from being very lacquer to being super uncomfortable, right? Agreed, yeah. But he's called to endure. And if we want to run a race of endurance, somewhere in our walk with God, somewhere in what He wants to do in and through us, it's going to become uncomfortable. Otherwise, we're missing something. And we have to be a people that settles in our heart that God wants to make us uncomfortable. That as we step out the boat, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as He makes us not comfortable and not where we want to be, He calls us to endure and to walk with faith and to trust Him. So the question is, how? How do we endure? What does it look like? What does the Bible say about running your race with endurance? And we're going to look at a specific scripture this morning. So I'm going to use one scripture and then try to kind of build around that. So the scripture is Hebrews 12 verse 1, which I think we know quite well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, and I love that because if you go read Hebrews 11, it speaks about all these heroes in the faith, men and women in the faith, who God used because they trusted Him, because they ran with endurance, and because they had faith. So the author uses these guys as examples and saying, therefore, in light of the examples we have of heroes in the faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Beautiful scripture. So, in order to fulfill, just like these witnesses in Hebrews 11, because God had plans and purposes for each and every one of them, God had the inheritance for each and every one of them, and in order for God to do that in and through us, we must live a life of faith and endurance. And He tells us how to do this in verse 1. Let's look at the first part there. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And the word weight is interesting because He makes it like there's a difference between weight and sin in this scripture. He distinguishes between weight and sin. And weight in the Greek in this context describes it as follows. It's a heavy, bulking weight that is so large or weighty that it causes something beneath it to sink, to stretch, or to stretch outwards. It acts as an obstacle, hindering movement or progress. And we actually have a cupboard in our kitchen underneath our sink. We didn't cause it. It was like that when we moved in. But the shelf is actually bent because they put something heavy on it. And over a while, it started to bend because of the weight. So the question is, what weight do we have in our lives that's slowing us down? That is hindering movement or progress. If we are called to run this race with endurance, what are the weight in our lives that is preventing us from running with endurance? And weight isn't necessarily sin. It can become sin somewhere. It probably will if you don't deal with it. But weight can be relationships. It can be hobbies. It can be things that we give our time to. It can be things that we think about probably too much. But what are the weights in our lives that is preventing us from running this race with endurance? And I'm really trusting as we talk about this, that the Holy Spirit will highlight to each and every one of us what the weight in our lives are. It's not sin necessarily yet, but it's stuff that's hindering us, that we know if I get rid of that, if I strip it off, as it says there, I'll run harder and faster and with more endurance for Jesus. You know, it's like a long-distance runner. I don't know. I'm not a long-distance runner. Bridget is. But if you are a long-distance runner, you can't carry a lot of weight, right? Because it's just going to wear you down. And some of that stuff you might need, like, you know, if you carry water with you and it's weighty, that's obviously something you need. So it's not necessarily sin, but it's weighing you down. So what are the things in our lives that's weighing us down as we run with faith and endurance? Because again, remember, God calls us to run with faith and endurance, to keep our eyes on Him. We're going to read about that now. So we want to be people that strips off every single weight that holds us back. So ask the Holy Spirit this week, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is the weight in my life that's holding me back that I should get rid of? So yeah. And then the next part in that verse says, so let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And sin means to miss the mark or to miss the target. So it's a picture of someone, a archer aiming for a target and you miss. So you miss it. You miss what God wants to do. And we've spoken a lot about sin and purity and living in the light in this last 2 weeks. Just in light of, if you've been part of us, just in light of Mervis and all that's happened there. We've spoken a lot about sin and living in the light and how God calls us to live in the light. And the encouragement this morning is, again, just to, if there's any sin in us, if there's any healing sin, if there's any sin in your life, the Bible says here, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Sin trips us up. Sin prevents us from running with endurance. It prevents us from running in faith and in obedience. And I want to encourage you. We've created space in our comm groups. We've spoken about this at church. I want to encourage us. Let's live in the light. Let's repent of sin that trips us up in order that we can run with endurance. There's sin in some of us. There's cycles and stuff that you've dealt with for years, some of us, and you've struggled, and I feel some of us have actually made peace with the fact that I'm never going to get victory over this. And I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus conquered sin and death. Jesus conquered sin and death. And because He conquered sin and death, we can conquer sin and death. So if you have sin in your life that's been part of you, that you haven't been able to let go of, I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus conquered sin and death. If we repent, the Bible says, if we repent of our sins, He is able to forgive us and He justifies those. And then it says, as we live in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So I want to encourage you, if you are struggling with sin, two things. Repent before the Lord and tell someone. Live in the light with someone. God always forgives us when we repent of our sins. Jesus died for our sins. He always forgives us. But there's something that happens when we live in the light with someone. There's something that happens. Like, then you're not in darkness. The enemy can't hold it against you. The enemy can't speak lies to you because it's in the light. And just to remember, we don't repent of sin. We don't live in the light. And we don't have to be scared of punishment. We get forgiveness. Jesus forgives us. It's good news. So let's get rid of sin. Let's repent of sin. Let's live in the light. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to convict us this morning. And if you are convicted of sin, I want to encourage you, share with someone. Get someone who knows you, who can walk with you, who can encourage you, who can point you to Jesus. And let's trust that God will set us free from sin, that we will live in purity. So Hebrews 12 verse 1 calls us to strip off every weight and sin in order to run with endurance. Remember, that's the call. We have to run with endurance. And again, we want to run with endurance. It's important to know why. We want to run with endurance because we want to see how God fulfills the plans and the purposes that He has for us as individuals, but also as a body, because we belong to one another. Just, yeah, God is, like, I'm super excited for us, for Josh and Weinberg. I am super excited for us. And as each one of us takes hold of this, as each one of us run with endurance, just imagine what God's going to do in and through us. And then I love verse 2, because verse 1, if you only read verse 1, you actually don't get the complete picture. You have to read verse 2 with it, because here's the solution. Here's what we need, the answer. So verse 2, Hebrews 12 verse 2, we do this, do what? We strip off every weight, we strip off every sin, we run with endurance, we do that by what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. And I love that. We run this race with endurance. We strip off every weight and sin that so easily trips us off by keeping our eyes on Jesus, by keeping in step with Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves us. Jesus is the one that sets us free. Jesus is the one that makes us pure. He intercedes for us. The answer does not lie in a system or in a formula, but in a person. In a person. Hebrews 4 verse 14 to 16. That is why we have a great high priest who has gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us cling to him and never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours knows and understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. I love this verse. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, or to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it. We keep our eyes on Jesus by approaching his throne of grace, to receive grace and mercy, knowing that he understands our weaknesses. You know, when we talk about purity and sin, we have to be careful, because it's important to talk about purity and sin, and it's important that we repent of sin, but quickly, very quickly, it becomes the focus. And actually, it's not supposed to be the focus. Jesus is supposed to be the focus. And we're not called to manage sin, right? We're not called to, if I struggle with anger and I kick my dog 5 times a week, it doesn't help. Next week I go, oh, I only kick my dog 4 times this week, so I'm doing better. That's managing sin. We're not called to manage sin. The answer is finding grace and mercy in the presence of Jesus. It is the grace of God that changes us, the Bible says. It's not us trying harder. It's not us trying to manage our sin. It is approaching the throne of grace and finding grace and mercy in the person of Jesus. Not saying that we don't resist temptation and we don't fight sin. Of course we do. It's a process. We have to walk it out with God. But the answer is in the person, not in a process, not in external laws or systems or formulas. It's in the person of Jesus. Because we go to the one who defeated and who conquered sin. And you know what? Like, we keep on saying we must live in the light, we must live in the light, we must live in the light with each other. And I want to just say that, remember, when we live in the light with one another, if someone brings something to you and they live in the light, we celebrate. We celebrate. Because Jesus is setting someone free. Jesus is taking someone forward. It is a celebration. It's not punishment or woe is me, or we celebrate when people walk in purity and freedom. Because God's forgiveness takes place. We don't rely on external systems, but we allow Jesus to change us. As we keep our eyes on him, as we keep in step with the person of Jesus, he changes us. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. So we stop sinning because we want to be pure in heart, and we want to be pure in heart so that we can see God. For no other reason. That should be our desire. Lord, I want to see you more and more. I want to let go of the weight and the sin that so easily trips me up. I want to run with endurance because I want to see you. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 16 to 18 says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more and more like him. How beautiful is that? And reflect his glory even more. So I want to say, the more time we spend at the throne of grace, the more we see him. And the more we see him, the more we become like him. And the more we become like him, the more we reflect him. And that is, that's what happens over and over and over. And we can't run this race of endurance if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus. Can we just go back to Hebrews 12 verse 2, please? Amy? Yes, you like multitasking, you're writing stuff down and
jeepers.
12 verse 2, I just want to focus on the second part there. It says he initiates and perfects our faith. Who does it? Do we do it? Jesus does it. He does it. We must allow him to build and perfect our faith. As we live in obedience, as we step out the boat, we keep our eyes on him and we allow him to stretch and to shape us. We run our race with faith and endurance. You know, like this morning, we had a beautiful time in God's presence, and we can ask as many times as we want, daily, hourly, however much you want, we can ask him to fill us with his presence and to fill us with his Spirit, because that's what the Bible says. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on looking, right? But as we do that, the Holy Spirit must change us, and we must let go of our pride, and we must let go of our sin, and we must let go of the weight, and we must humble ourselves. And as we do that, he shapes us into his image, and he gives us faith to run with endurance. And I love this, because of the joy, is that in that verse? Because of the joy, let me just read it. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Jesus did what he did for us because of the joy that was awaiting him. And I love that he had an eternity mindset. And I want to remind us this morning, we live for eternity. We live to see him one day in his fullness. We live to hear him say to each and every one of us one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is why we do what we do. That is why we run with endurance, because we're going to see him one day in his fullness. That's it. Sure, that's it. Let's all stand. I would love us to respond. We're not going to go back into worship, but let's just respond for a moment. So let's just quickly close our eyes. I just love just to, for us to respond in our hearts. So firstly, before I speak to us that I know, there's people here that I don't know. And I want to just provide opportunity this morning with everyone's eyes closed. I just want to provide an opportunity this morning. You know, you might have come in here this morning and you saw our fellowship and you saw our worship and this preach just about keeping our eyes on him, about running with endurance, about living for eternity, and also just about how, you know, the Bible says we must strip off every weight and sin that so easily trips us up. And actually, there might be people here that actually don't know Jesus, and you have never received his free gift of grace. You have never responded to the good news of Jesus, that he died for your sin. Or there might be people here who actually, you do know God, but you've walked away from him. Someone had a word that there might be runaways here. Like, you've known Jesus, you've walked with him, but you've actually run away from him, and you're actually not living in the light. So I just want to give opportunity with everyone's eyes closed. If there's anyone here, you either don't know Jesus and you would love to respond to the gospel this morning, or you would like to come back to him as a recommitment or coming back to living in the light. I would love you to respond this morning. Like, there's something beautiful about us responding to the good news. So if there's anyone like that, I'm going to ask you just to be brave with everyone's eyes closed, just to raise your hand. We would love just to pray for you. Like, this is super important. Thank you. That's amazing. Super important. Thank you, Lord. God leaves the 99 for the one. He's after the one. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that person, God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, just fill him with your grace. Fill him with your mercy, Jesus. And just for the rest of us, can we just respond as well? Just with everyone's eyes closed. We're not going to go into worship. We just, you focus on God. If the Holy Spirit convicted you of any weight or any sin this morning, if the Holy Spirit convicted you that you don't actually go to His throne of grace, you don't actually keep your eyes on Him, you don't actually make it about Jesus, let's just, in a moment, just in our own hearts, let's just respond to Him. Just do business with Him. Just close your eyes. Don't worry about the person next to you. And let's just, we want to be people that keep our eyes on Jesus. We want to be people that spends time with the person of Jesus. We want to be people that run with endurance. So come, Holy Spirit, just pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, won't you just come and give us soft hearts this morning, God? Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to walk with you in humility. Help us to strip off every weight and the sin that so easily trips us up, God. Help us, give us hearts that want to see you, Jesus. Give us hearts that want to keep our eyes on you, God. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we may know you better, Paul writes in Ephesians. Won't you do that, Holy Spirit? We want to be a people that run with endurance. We want to be people that see the plans and the purposes that you have for us fulfilled in us, God. We don't want to be a generation that miss you, like we saw with your people in the desert, God. We want to experience you and we want to see you, Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of us together, God, that we will be people that run with endurance, that we will be people that keep our eyes on you, Jesus, that walk with you, that know you, that hear you speak to us, Jesus. Won't you come and do that to every single one of us right now? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, everyone. It was a good morning.